Okay, well, hello. I am so excited to welcome everyone to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I think all guests are special, but I got to tell you, I am super excited to have our guest today representing the NFL alumni. It is Beasley Reese. He was a former NFL player with the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a five-time Emmy Award winner, 12-time AP winner, two-time Hall of Famer. That's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame and College Hall of Fame. Beasley, thank you so much for being with us here today on the Charity Charge Show.
It's my pleasure, and we certainly appreciate everything that you guys do to help charities, and love being on the show. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's nice to, you know, I know even in COVID-19, feel like I have someone local, because we're in Texas, and you're in Texas. So it's nice to kind of do that, even though we can do this digitally and kind of adapt. You know, at some point when all this passes, I'd love to grab some barbecue in Austin or where you are in Texas. So we'll do that.
Go hear some live music in Austin. I'd love that.
That would be awesome. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things that I just want to talk about, because one of the reasons why, and candidly, like I really also started this show, it's very much about spotlighting amazing individuals running organizations and those organizations and how they're giving back, how they're making a difference. So I'm always learning. And, you know, this is new to me. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of the NFL, but the NFL alumni, which you run, is doing some amazing work. So could you share with the audience kind of high level, what is the NFL alumni? Why was it formed? Why are you passionate about that?
Well, we were formed in 1967 by a group of retired NFL players. In the early going, it was just golf for the guys and galas for the gals was the politically incorrect mission of the day. Today, the NFL alumni is joined by former NFL cheerleaders. It's our second largest membership group. Players retire, and maybe 3 to 5 years after retirement, they look to join the NFL alumni because they found a new profession, they are opening businesses, and they want to use our logo, which is the exact same logo as the NFL, to help sell their goods and services and their abilities into the marketplace. So that's about when they join us, is about 5 years after they retire. We negotiate benefits and services for former players. My personal mission is to help players live better in retirement. Our stated mission is caring for kids and caring for our own. The caring for kids part is achieved through our 35 NFL chapters and growing. We'll soon have 39. So 35 chapters, the 32 NFL teams and other places where there happen to be a lot of players retired, like Orlando. We have a lot of players in certain pockets, and they may have a chapter. These chapters do charity events, and they take the money raised and they give it to local children-based charities. So it is just an awesome feeling, a awesome mission. Historically, we raise over $1 million a year giving to children's charities, everything from boys and girls clubs to little boutique charities that very few people have heard of, where our ability to donate is impactful. You know, the large charities, we certainly participate with them and donate to them, but I can't write a check big enough. Our charities can't write a check big enough to run their organization for a month or 3 months. So we tend to move to the smaller charities, people who are really in need of our level of dollars, where our 10, 20, $30,000, $50,000 can run their organization, keep the lights on. One quick story, when I was the president of the Philadelphia chapter, the cheerleaders brought to me a charity called Work to Rye. And the whole thing was they brought these inner city kids out of Philadelphia, taught them how to ride horses and play polo. And Work to Ride comes in because they had to clean the stalls and care for the horses before they got a chance to go out and ride. So I thought this was some kind of boutique. What are my cheerleaders doing? And man, those poor kids out of Philadelphia won the national championship in college, in polo, sorry, against all these super wealthy families and children. And every time I talk about it, I start crying. Their college graduate percentage is above 99%. This little bitty charity is changing lives. And those are the charities that we look for. And it is just an honor to work for the NFL Alumni Association because of our outreach to children.
I really appreciate you sharing that. And I've had, you know, in the span of, I mean, obviously prior to Charity Charge, obviously I had this impulse, this initiative to want to be able to give back. And then in the past 4+ years of running this, I've seen a lot of those things, you know, where that the direct impact and that kind of local, that seeing something happen, and also a little bit of, you know, what I call the head fake there, where, you know, this organization was brought to you and you know, you're kind of like trying to wrap your head around the significance of it. And then it just kind of opened up your mind. I'm curious to take that too, because, you know, rolling back the clock, so to speak, when you were a player, you know, I think there's this misconception about NFL players. And I want to, and we'll dissect more that you've given this overview of both sides of the organization there to help players, right? And they need help. We're going to talk about that. But then I love, and it's so beautiful, this other side about helping kids and just the different initiatives and kind of programs at a macro level that NFL alumni is all about. But I'm curious, take us back, you know, what's changed for you? What's kind of opened your eyes when you were a player versus getting out of the league? What are some of the challenges and the things you've seen from other players and kind of like the real kind of nitty gritty importance of NFL alumni? Because I think there's a misconception that all of these players, you know, are making millions and millions of dollars and retiring and have like all this like cushion to sit on. But I know that there's, you know, real challenges, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, it depends on the era in which you played. Yes, today guys are retiring and they have the money to buy businesses, start businesses, or basically make a living being themselves, which is the best job in the world. All you have to do is be you, and you get paid to show up places. So most of those guys, many of them, I should say, have that great job of just being superstar, former NFL superstar, and they go get paid to sign autographs and go places and do really interesting things. But the guys that played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the early 90s, didn't make that kind of money. Football was just a great head start for many of them. A lot of them got hurt because there's a 100% chance of injury if you play as long as you have to play to be a professional football player of note. So the challenges are about what you would expect. If a guy played in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he made under $100,000 a year to play football. And if he played the league average, which is about 3 years, that's just enough money to kind of get your name in your community, and everybody in your town knows you played for the Baltimore Ravens or the Dallas. Well,
be the Colts back then.
Baltimore Colts back then.
And you know, and we're not sponsored by them. I'm kind of making a joke here, but one of my favorite barbecue places in Baltimore, which it has fantastic barbecue, is Andy Nelson's barbecue. Which Nelson was a former star with the Baltimore Colts.
That's right. Oh, wow. That's great. I'm glad he's making some great barbecue for you guys and doing well. But the challenges are many. You know, we have guys that have health issues, so many of our benefits are health related. We have guys that struggle in the transition, so many of our benefits are tailored to help a guy go from the NFL into sales or management or ownership or entrepreneurial endeavors. We have relationships with franchisers so that a guy can get into an established system and have a higher rate of success if that is his direction. We have benefits where they can finish their degree, because many of us leave the game needing 10, 15, you know, 20 credits to graduate because of the challenges of practice and games and the priority that coaches used to place that over going to class back in the day. They don't do it anymore. Today, you know, you have to keep your grades up and go to class and be serious about your education, or the coaches and the athletic directors get in trouble. So today it's above board, but back in the 60s, 70s, maybe even into the early 80s, coaches would put a priority on football, and your grades and education would be secondary at many locations. But so a lot of challenges we answer or try to activate players in as many areas where we see them in need. There's some depression. And there's some substance abuse problems, not what the public believes. I'm talking about a very small percentage of guys. But to help those guys, we have a relationship with the American Addiction Centers of America, a national company that we've negotiated. And basically, one of our players runs it. And Derek Price is his name, former NFL player, and he's the CEO of it. And so he offers 100 scholarships to our players that are struggling with things like that. So we get help from players with a heart, people with a heart, and the guys that are involved with the NFL Alumni Association. Man, those are the good guys. Those are the captains of the teams. Those are the leaders. They are natural leaders in the community. So they become our presidents and our vice presidents. They become our ambassadors in the cities across the country. They are guys that show up to play in the charity golf tournaments, that show up to the big dinners and events. And we're just proud of them. And I want everybody to know this as well. The NFL, it gets a bad reputation. It is unjustified. I know firsthand, because I work closely with the NFL. They help us with hundreds of thousands of dollars to run our programs and to help our players. The NFL has a heart. It's got a big heart. And I'm proud of our relationship with the NFL. I'm proud of what they've done for players and what they are doing. Have they made mistakes? Well, haven't we all? But one thing about the NFL, when they make a mistake and get called on it, you know, they clean it up. So very proud of our leadership in the NFL alumni.
I really appreciate you sharing that, because I have to tell you, prior to this, in doing some research, I was kind of scratching my head about what's the relationship between the NFL, NFL alumni. Obviously, you've now done a phenomenal job of explaining it to me and our whole community as they listen to this, the role and the significance and the importance. But yeah, I'd always wondered, you know, how is the NFL and what are different initiatives that are created out there to help former players? And this really is just, again, what I think is really beautiful about it. And a lot of why I also kind of talk in these terms, you know, a lot of our community are individuals running organizations. So always trying to kind of figure out how other, not, you know, football related, but other organizations can learn from your best practices and what you're tapping into. And we see it a lot, you know, for example, these exist nationally, but in Austin, there's a Leadership Austin, and they have individuals that go through Leadership Austin, that have different, kind of trainings and a process and a program. And then out of that, they have a cohort, the Leadership Austin alumni, And those alumni then do their initiative. So obviously you're playing on a much grander scale, but I think it's really neat for people to understand and that are running organizations, how they can continue to carry out their mission with people that are naturally a part of it kind of on the front end or earlier days. So I think that's really awesome. And I'm curious to that, you know, what is the interaction with current players, and as they're approaching retirement, is there any sort of like programs that you do so that to kind of educate and bring awareness to current players of, hey, this resource is going to be here for you when you retire? What's that kind of transitionary type of, how does that play out?
Well, it is the age-old question for the Alumni Association is, how do we appeal to the guys as they are still in the league, approaching retirement, and then the guys inside of that newly retired to that five-year window where they normally see a need to join the NFL alumni. It takes about 5 years for the average guy who only played a few years to notice that his name is starting to dwindle, you know, if he's not some Jerry Rice superstar. And so they reach out to us because, you know, they need that NFL alumni association to help sell their goods and services and abilities. So that is the age old question. We do not get from the NFL the contact information from players as they retire. So that's not an automatic exchange of information. We've always worked toward developing our relationship to the point where we can get that. That has not happened yet. And even the teams sometimes come to us looking for players. So the league rolls on. You know, when you get cut, that big machine just keeps on going, and the new guy out of the University of Texas or the new guy out of Ohio State or Notre Dame comes in, and he's the new focus and the new face of the organization. There will be, after Tom Brady was the face in New England all those years, there will be a new face of that organization. The machine just keeps rolling. So often they have to – so it's a two-way street. We reach out to them for contact information. They often come to us looking for a player that someone is searching for. So we do work closely together on things like that. So the transition part of it is, it's, you know what, it is, it's organic and natural. They join us when they need us. Some never get involved. Like I retired in the 80s and I sent my $100 membership to the NFL alumni all those years, never went to a meeting, never used the benefit, never asked for anything. My $100 was to help my teammates that were struggling. So we have hundreds of guys, thousands of guys that don't go to meetings or anything like that, but they support their brothers. If I do a video right now and say COVID-19 is hurting your former teammates, bam, thousands of dollars come into the NFL alumni for our NFL alumni COVID-19 player assistance fund. And we send out the checks as fast as we get them to help the guys that have emergency needs. So that's kind of the way we work. We would like to get them as soon as they retire and get them to join the alumni, but they don't see the value in it yet. Alumni means retired, you know, and these are young guys who don't want to be retired. Some team just cut them. They think next year they might get a telephone call. So when you join the NFL alumni, you have said to yourself, to your brain, to your champion's heart, to your everything that you've been working on all these years, you are saying to yourself, okay, it's time to move on. And that's a difficult statement for players.
I appreciate you just being so authentic about that. You know, I mean, it's helpful for other people to hear this too, just to understand – I think the reality that we all face when there's transitions in life, you know, but what I do think is really beautiful about that is you talk about, and this is true of of kind of everything. I mean, whether it's school alumni, anything you'd be an alumni alumnus of, there's just different levels of participation, and there's different levels of people's participation on a monetary level, in a time, in their, you know, involvement efforts, et cetera. And I think that that's awesome also that you kind of recognize that. A lot of people want things to be a way because it's got to be this way, but then there's just, it's how it shakes out. And I think it's really beautiful how you talk about the organic kind of nature of how it unfolds, but it's also, you know, I can appreciate that. I think, you know, obviously not on the level at all that you can actually living it, but you know, not wanting to kind of be in this forced retirement, you know, and what's retired versus being, you know, an alumnus. I know in there, I want to jump back to what's happening right now, obviously around the world. I mean, in some way, shape or form, everyone's affected by COVID-19, right? Some more than others. And I know you're doing some initiatives. You talked about the COVID-19 Relief Fund. Could you talk a little bit about just what that is and what you guys are trying to do?
Well, the NFL and our association with the NFL Player Care Foundation, they have millions of dollars in a fund. So they have a program where we can call them and say that we got a call from player X and he has a dire need at a larger number than we can support. So it may be a mortgage or you know, some other larger grant that this player is looking for. Well, the Player Care Foundation processes, vets players, and send out 2,000, you know, plus dollar type checks to help with a mortgage payment or something like that. Our fund at the NFL Alumni is fast money. You need to keep the lights on. You need some groceries. So we send out $300 checks. They call us. It's we vet it, obviously, because we're dealing with money that people have donated from their love, from their heart. So it's not just you call, we send a check. There's a vetting process, and we realize that it's a guy that we never heard of before. It's not some guy that is really having some weird problems and calling all the time looking for money or help. If it's a legitimate need, bang, we send it out. And so we try to be fast and nimble and get help to our guys as soon as we can. And it's guys versus helping guys. You know, former commissioner, NFL commissioner Paul Tagliabue sent us a very generous donation for our player care, not player care, but for our NFL alumni COVID-19 relief fund. Why? Because he's been caring for players since the 60s and 70s, and he continues to do so. So I call him a player. You know, he's in the family. So it's player helping. You know, I got a lot of guys that call me, hey, man, I saw your video. I sent $500. I sent $1,000. I sent $50. You know, I sent $20. And it just, you know, it's.
What about the general population that's listening? we'll acknowledge that. I can tell that.
Yeah, that just, you know,
what runs through your mind? I want to acknowledge the emotions because I think they're beautiful. What runs through your mind? You just filled with appreciation that.
Well, it's appreciation. It's appreciation, and it is recognition that we're still a team. See, there are titles and relationships that live forever, and I don't care what level we're talking about. You know, I know. You were a high school player, so you know what coach means. You know what teammate means. The guys that played with you, next to you on the line, you know what they meant to you. And to see these guys, you know, write a check, still helping each other, still being a team, still being together, players helping players, is the most satisfying, the most real, the most heart-tugging reality that we have in the NFL alumni. So it's times like these when we stand up and we stand up for each other And that's why I'm proud of that fund. I'm proud of the way players have reacted to it. And, you know, our captains are still our captains, man. They call each other. They call the fellas. They say, hey, Beasley sent out a – Beasley needs this. Or, you know, the alumni is asking for that. You know, let's work together. And so that's what's fun is and heartfelt is that at the NFL alumni and all of our former players, we are still teammates.
It's so beautiful. I love it. I love it. This really made my day. I mean, I think my week, because I've always been such a fan of the NFL, and I didn't appreciate how it's all interconnected and connected rather just kind of after the fact and ever going. So I'm really, really happy that we had this opportunity and that you've come on, you know, as a guest here. One practical question I have, I know we've talked a lot about, you know, former players and people that have been a part of the NFL contributing to this fund and all. What about for fans? Is there a way that fans of the NFL can contribute that would want to help out?
Yeah, there is. You know, it is more difficult for us to reach out to them because we have our database. We send out e-blast. We send out press releases when it comes to new relationships, but a press release is not a mechanism to create an outreach.
Yep.
So we reach out to our partners. We have several corporate partners who join us for whatever reason. We obviously reach out to the players and to the teams. And this COVID-19 is, you know, this is new and abrupt. And so, you know, the major corporations gave millions of dollars to the NFL Player Care Foundation that I described earlier. Mm-hmm. So our fund is more a player-to-player. It makes it personal. It makes it real for the players. Now, I wish I could stand on the bully pulpit and send out a national announcement, but here let's talk about the realities of life. You know, we need to be helping first responders. We need to be helping nurses. Mm-hmm. And we need to be helping children get computers and access to the internet. I'm not going to stand on a podium and ask you to help a former NFL wide receiver who's lived one heck of a life and been a star in his life. Right now, I want my guys reaching out to the public to help the people that keep everyone safe. We're not the focus right now. So no, I'm not trying to call out to America to help the farm. That's my job. Yep. And our job as teammates. So if I have a message to America, it is to recognize our nurses. My daughter-in-law is a nurse. Mm. You know, some of my employees, husbands or doctors or family members are in harm's way right now, doing great work. So let's know where the line should be. So no, I'm asking players to help players. Our NFL community is helping the NFL, and we want our players and everybody else to focus on the people who can't get food right now. When I see those food lines miles long, yep, in America, families looking for food, you know, I can't be asking people to help, you know, a running back.
Well, you know your audience, you know, I mean, I think first of all, that's amazing and beautiful what you just shared. And knowing your values, knowing your audience, knowing your mission, and not just, I'm not talking about just the mission of NFL alumni. I'm talking about the mission of being a human being and also just being emotionally aware of what's going on. So I loved how you just put that together. And, you know, I think about that a lot right now, of where is kind of the greatest need and who needs the help. And a lot of people are struggling. But you really there just kind of focused on kind of the top of the list, so to speak. And I think that, you know, we interact, this is kind of just, you know, I kind of keep these conversations kind of loose. Like, what I also think on the tactical side is good, you know, so we work with, really at this point, thousands of organizations nationwide. And, you know, I'm on their newsletters, and I'm also just in general seeing the philanthropic world as a whole, trying to figure out, like, how do we keep our organizations going? But there's a tone and there's a context and there's a time of, you know, fundraising and your initiatives. And I think a lot of nonprofits are wondering, how do we communicate our message to supporters? And sometimes you don't need to always make that appeal and that ask, you know, and you figure out how to message it and make it be contextual. And I think what you just did there is beautiful. I mean, you really have taken things beyond just the mission of NFL alumni, but just this on a humanistic element, right? We're living in a different time right now where we got to focus on, just like you said, I mean, I see it on TV, those lines of car after car after car, just trying to get food. It's unbelievable to me. So, I really appreciate that you've come on, and this has kind of helped me a lot as well. And I hope for an entire community. As we kind of round out this interview, are there certain ways people can learn more? Do you want to mention your website or other kind of ways people can follow along?
Yeah. To learn more about the NFL alumni, just go to NFLalumni.org. And you can see something about our mission, our programs. Corporations join us through our enterprise membership category. For a few $100s, you can get on our mailing list, get on our website, have your products and services highlighted and promoted by NFL players. There's certain companies that are just perfect, the doctor's offices, any place where you have foot traffic, where people can see our big logo, big plaque, NFL alumni, create a conversation piece. And then, you know, earlier I talked about what makes sense. Well, there's certain companies that, you know, make sense joining the NFL alumni as enterprise members. And I think those CEOs will see the benefit right away. The general public can join us as associate members. So for a little over $100, you can join the NFL alumni. You get invitations to the chapter meetings in your town. You become part of the team that goes out and does this great charity work that we've been talking about all day. And maybe you're an event planner, or maybe you are a person with ties in the corporate community in your town. We invite you to join us as associate members and come to the events, come to the meetings, create events, create meetings. If you are in a charity space and you want to make your event a NFL alumni event, you can use our NFL logo to enhance your invitation and your ability to raise funds for your event and get former players. And like I said, the guys that are in the alumni, those are good guys. Those are the guys that care about their community and care about the wonderful work that all of these awesome charities are doing around the country. A lot of our players have foundations, and when they do an event, they make it a NFL alumni event. They invite their former teammates in town. It just adds a little something, a little sparkle to their event to have the players there.
Love it. We got to collaborate. I want to get Charity Charge joined up. I think it's absolutely awesome. I'm even thinking about it through just in that focus group kind of us.
That's absolutely super cool. We need you guys to join us as enterprise members. We would love that. So, like I said, when I first said hello, I appreciate the fact that you've created a business that helps people, that helps charities. And you've got a great heart, and it's wonderful to meet you.
Well, I thank you so much, and we can end on those terms. You know, for everyone that's just been listening along, I know that you know, times are challenging in all different ways for people right now, but we really appreciate everyone that's been a part of the Charity Charge community from past to present to future. So signing off here, Stephen Garten for the Charity Charge Show. Thank you so much, Beasley, for being a guest here.
Thank you, Stephen.